I was thinking, do you know what? I could just stop because I'm doing this next year anyway. And I had that in my head for hours and hours whilst I was trudging up and down sand dunes.
Diz Runs Radio episode 423 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we get started with today's episode of the show, just want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by the good folks over at Audible. And if you want to check out audible.com and get yourself a free audiobook to keep, whether you want to stick with Audible or not, head over to dizruns.com/audible. It's a great way to support the show, great way to get yourself a little something as well. And you might find, like I have found, that actually getting that, you know, with a subscription to Audible, you get one free book every month. So it's been a great way for me to get some more leisure reading into my life, to get some more books that maybe I wouldn't get to actually physically read, but to have it going and to be able to listen to it when I'm walking the dog, when I'm doing the dishes, when I'm doing whatever, when I'm running, you know, whatever it might be, has been a great bonus for me. So if you want to check out Audible, and I would encourage you to do so, because it's been a great resource for me over the last several months. Dizruns.com/audible. It helps support the show, and it gets you a free book. So what could be better than that? So with that, let's go ahead and get on with today's episode of the show. Hey, guys. My guest today is a runner, pure and simple. It doesn't matter what the distance, no matter the terrain, no matter the location. If it's a race, she's going to be up to take the challenge. So far in 2017, she's run big city marathons. She's run across deserts. She's raced through rainforests. And she's got a whole lot more in store along the similar types of routes for later this year. So without any further ado, let's get this party started by welcoming the Susie Chan to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Susie.
Hey.
So guys, if you don't know who Susie is yet, definitely check her out online, the website, Susie-Chan.com. On Instagram, you can connect with her there at Susie_Chan_. So there's an extra underscore after her last name there. On Twitter, you can connect with her there at Susie_Chan. So a little underscore in the middle. And on Facebook, you can find her Facebook page just by searching for Susie Chan. And as always, you know the routine. I'll make sure to have everything linked up in the show notes for this episode, which you can find at dizruns.com/423. So, Susie, the way we always start off the show is with a very simple and straightforward question that sometimes it has a simple and straightforward answer, and sometimes it's a little more thought-provoking and a little bit more difficult, and kind of think it might be on the difficult end for you, because the question is simply, what is your favorite distance to race and why? And I know you race them all, so that might be a tough one for you.
That's a tough one. It kind of depends in my mood, and I find that my running goes in cycles. Sometimes I'm better at running shorter and faster, and then I 6 months later I'm better at running longer. But for me, I think probably the perfect distance I really like to run is about 50 miles.
And why is that? Why is that? Is it just kind of the happy middle ground type of thing?
Yeah, so it's you spent a good day running, you've a really enjoyable day running. It's a long way, so you get sort of gratification for having achieved something quite big, but it's not going to totally and utterly wreck me, so I can't run for a few days afterwards, so I can kind of recover reasonably quickly and then get back out there running. But before I went into ultras, I think for me the perfect race distance was the half marathon. You know, you get a good day out, you get a good run, you've run quite a long way, you run quite fast, and you feel like you've had a really good run. But I think now, that was when I was a little bit younger, now I'm a little bit older. I prefer to take it a little bit easier in terms of pace and go a little bit further. So yeah, 50 miles for me is the one.
Gotcha. I always love asking that question to folks that run ultra marathons, because it's just such a different world to me. I have just recently run my first 50K, so I can claim to be an ultra marathoner at this point, but that still seems like that 50K is still an awfully long way. So when I hear those of you that do the multi-day stuff or the 100-mile stuff, and you're like, you know, 50 miles, that's a good, it's far, but it's not too far. I'm like, gosh, it's ridiculous to me.
Yeah, but the difference with the sort of 50K is you're only just slightly slower than your marathon pace. And the thing I find when I'm running those shorter races, they're very defined by minute miles and you know, those expectations. And I quite like the freedom of longer ultra marathons where, you know, the terrain from one race to the next would be, could be very, very different. So you don't really have an idea or a yardstick to how you're going to perform in terms of average pace. Unless you go back and do the same race again, then obviously you've got an idea. Mm-hmm. But I quite like that little bit of freedom of not having to kind of check my watch as, you know, as much as I would do, say, for example, in a road marathon where I'm very much driven by pace.
Well, and yeah, and even if you go back and run the same course again a year or two later, there's odds are, you know, if it's in somewhere beautiful and pristine, the course has changed, even if it's the same
route. Yeah, I mean, and then ultramarathons, again, it's... you know, you can, and this happens to me still, I've run a lot of them. I can run a race and everything goes well. And then I can run another race and I get something just slightly wrong or, you know, I don't quite do it as well as I would have done. And, you know, like in any race, I can get in 10Ks, half marathons, just a couple of things can be slightly different and it really affects, you know, how you perform. And then the weather is a big factor in ultramarathons. If you're out for sort of 8 hours or whatever, if it starts raining, I mean, running in the rain and the mud for 8 hours is different to running in the sunshine and through, you know, through the trails for 8 hours. It can have a very different kind of feel to it and affect your mood, you know. So they can be very, very different. But I think that's why I enjoy it. You sort of start out the day knowing you're going to finish, but you know what's going to come up along the route.
Right. Yeah, you know the start and the end, but the adventure is going to be different. It's going to be something each time.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And you know, I've run some races, you know, a couple of times, and I've had very, very different experiences in exactly the same race. And I think that it's ultra running. I think that's a real fun part of it for me, because you just it's about the journey, much less than the times that you do.
Yeah. My one experience with the ultra was definitely about the journey. The time was irrelevant. As long as I finished, it was going to be a good day.
That's how it starts, though. That's how it starts. And then you'll go, oh, maybe I can run a little bit further. And then you find another race which goes a little bit further. And then before you know it, you end up like me and on a journey where you're just really trying to find out where it ends and how far you can keep pushing.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope, and right now I'm still holding on. But yeah, I know better than to fight the unavoidable sometimes.
Just got to go for it. Got to go for it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, how did you get started in this crazy sport of running? Has it always been something that's part of your life, or how'd you get involved to begin with?
So it wasn't always part of my life. I had a pretty average kind of 20s. You know, I was going out a lot, drinking, partying quite hard. Then I got to my mid-30s and I was a mum actually at that stage. And I was just finding myself just sitting around at home, drinking wine, watching TV every night, being pretty immobile and not really doing a huge amount, I'd say, with my life, just kind of coasting. I wasn't having a very good time personally. And then my brother, exactly all this was happening. And then my brother was running a marathon. He wanted to kind of tick it off his life bucket list as a one-off. You know, I want to run a marathon. I'm going to tick it off my bucket list. And he talked me into doing a local half marathon with him. And I hadn't run before. You know, I wasn't a runner. I wasn't really fit. I smoked a lot. And so I thought, well, you know, okay, I'll give it a go. And I started running. And I can remember vividly trying to run round a field without stopping. The very first time I ran, you know, and I didn't die. And I did a little bit more and a little bit more. And then eventually, I think I ran for about four months, maybe. Then I turned up for this half marathon very, 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 very underprepared. But I was with my brother and we kind of ran together for most of it. And then I was very underprepared. It was a trail marathon and I'd just been running up and down the roads. So I wasn't quite sure what I was doing. But then about 9 miles in, I realized I was going to finish, you know, and I crossed the line. And it was a real moment for me, because I just came away with a huge sense of achievement and I couldn't believe I'd actually run as far as 13 miles. I just thought, oh, you know, and it was, I felt really good about myself and, you know, my legs were trashed, but I just felt really good. And it just kind of escalated from there. So then I did another half marathon and then I did a 10K. And then I decided to sign up for a marathon. This all happened quite quickly, sort of within about a year. And then I ran a marathon. And then whilst I joined a running club and sort of started to mix with, you know, a lot more runners. And then I found out about a race called the Marathon des Sables, which is a multi-stage ultra marathon through the Sahara Desert. And it seemed like the most ridiculous, absurd thing. you know, when you sort of like look at sort of people having mad adventures on the TV and you just think, wow, you know, that's amazing. It felt that unobtainable to me. Mm-hmm. But I thought, you know what, maybe if I try hard enough, I can do it. And it seemed like a really good positive focus for me in my life at the time. And I'd heard that the race itself is very, very difficult to get into. And so I just signed up to the waiting list. There was a very, very long wait list. And then I kind of like, okay, put it to one side, and then did a little bit of research a couple of weeks later and found out that everybody on the wait list gets in because they have so many dropouts. panicked a lot. And then that was it, really. I just thought, right, okay, I'm going to do it. I really want to try and do this. And that sort of set me off onto a path of ultra running. So mm-hmm. between my first half marathon and that sort of 6-day multi-stage ultra, I think I had about 18 months.
Wow, that's quite the quick evolution.
It was, yeah. I just went straight into it, really, which was, yeah. I mean, on reflection, it does actually seem a little bit extreme. Mm-hmm. It does seem a little bit extreme, but yeah, I don't regret it at all.
Wow. So you mentioned earlier that you've done, you know, a few of the races a couple different times and you know, kind of seen how the course changes in you know, different time periods. And you've done Marathon des Sables, what, now, 3 times now in the last 5 or 6 years, something like that?
3 times. I've done it, yeah, in 6 years. I've done it 3 times in 6 years. And the thing about that race is they don't actually tell you what the format of the race is until you're there, actually, in the Sahara, until you're actually in your camp. But it's pretty much the same format each year and pretty much the same sort of distances. So you know roughly what it is, but it's not exactly the same course. So, and the first year I did it, it's broken down into 6 days. And the first 3 days are normally distances just under a marathon. So anything mm-hmm. like 20 to 24, 25 miles. And on the fourth day, they have something called the long stage, which is an ultra marathon. And then they have a marathon and then a little fun run at the end on the sixth day. Mm. And the first year I did it, the long stage was about, I'd say it was probably about 48 miles. And then the second year I did it, the long stage was nearly 100K, which was huge. And then the third year I did it, it was about 55 miles. So, but each one of those times I did the race, I had a very, very different experience, and my goals were slightly different in each one, and it was actually quite remarkable how very, very different each one of those experiences were.
Well, you can't leave us on a cliffhanger right there. So I mean, obviously you don't have to necessarily go through phase by phase and all the specific details of each of those events. But you know, kind of what's the bird's eye view of the differences and how the different years played out for you?
So the first one was in 2013, and because I was so new to running and so new to the world of ultra running, I was very, very much a novice. And mm-hmm. my aim really was just to finish. I just wanted to get over the finish line of the race. I just wanted to finish. And, you know, that was my goal, and I trained very hard. I ran kind of long and slow. You mean you have to carry everything on your back in this race mm-hmm. to survive. So you have a big rucksack, and I wasn't very good at running with this heavy rucksack. And so I just had a goal just to finish. And, you know, I was very, very slow, but I finished, and that was what I wanted to achieve. And then the second time I went back to it, I went back because I didn't feel like I had tried my best. I felt like I was kind of being quite safe in how I ran the race. You know, I just wanted to make that finish line. So the second time I thought, you know what, I've got the medal. I know I can finish this race, so I thought I'd try and do the best I can. And I had an exceptionally good race that year, and I finished in the top 10 on the long stage, and I think in the marathon stage, and I just did really well, and I managed to work my way up to the elites, and so everything just dovetailed beautifully. Had a really brilliant race, really brilliant time, really, really pleased with my performance. And then I went back this year, I had a sponsored place, so I was very, very, very lucky to get a sponsored place in the race. And I have to say, on reflection, I was probably a little bit cavalier about the race. You know, I was kind of very relaxed. I wasn't, my preparation was, you know, not really to a standard, which it was in the last 2 times. And I turned up kind of like, oh yeah, I've done this race twice before. I sort of know what I'm doing. And I just fell apart on the, I think day 2 or 3, I got a bit unwell because I wasn't feeding myself properly. And I started to lose a lot of places on that day, and it just kind of unraveled from there. So it was the race which I think probably needed to happen, because it taught me, you know, that you can't just rock up to these things and turn up and run them. You need to actually treat them with a bit of respect. And so it was a tough race, and I kind of went all the way down, had a really, really, really bad day, and then I kind of managed to pull myself back together for the marathon and had finished on a good day. So it taught me a lot of lessons, really. It was all three very, very different experiences.
Right. It's crazy. Sometimes I was just talking to some of my coaching clients the other day about how those rough days, whether it's a race or just a really bad training run, like if once you can kind of compartmentalize it and look back on it, you can learn so much from it. And those can be some of the best things for you.
Exactly. And I think the problem I had was about some 2-3 days, and I knew everything was going wrong, and I had quite a bit of expectation on me because I'd done quite well in the last race, and I was kind of named in the press pack as one to watch. I had two bad days in a row, and I knew it had gone, and I kind of was then beginning to, my head went, which is very tough, I've never had that before, and I was kind of looking for reasons to be rubbish. I was looking, maybe my foot really, really hurts here, and I'm feeling really sick today, and actually I just needed to pull myself together mentally and pull myself back into the race. And I managed. I was very lucky because I had some great sort of friends around me. And I got messages from home, and everybody knew that, my race had gone completely wrong. But I'm just pleased that I managed to finish on a high and recognize, what my mistakes were. And I'd made peace with it, and I ran on the last marathon stage. I just ran it with my heart, and I felt happy, and I was glad I managed to do that, and when I've crossed the finish line, I was like, okay, I'd made peace with my mistakes, and it was a really fundamental lesson that it taught me. So it was an important race. It was a really important race to me.
Obviously, predicting the future is an impossible game, but you've done it three times. Do you think three's a charm with that race, or do you think there might be a possibility down the road of doing it again for you?
Yeah, so I think one of the reasons that it was slightly problematic was because I'm already signed up for next year. So my race was going wrong, and I was thinking in my head, this is what I was telling myself, and I was in the boiling hot sun, and everything was going wrong, and I was feeling a bit sick and a bit dizzy. I was thinking, do you know what, I could just stop because I'm doing this next year anyway. And I had that in my head for hours and hours whilst I was trudging up and down sand dunes, and that didn't help, actually. But to answer your question, yes, I'm going back next year. And that's promise me, you'll keep an eye on me. That will definitely be my last time there.
Well, I guess it makes it a lot easier to predict the future when you're already signed up for the race. Like that, you're kind of in it at that point. Oh,
yeah.
Goodness. Well, so you've done the desert. You've done it a few times now. And I know earlier this year you did some, and I believe maybe last year with Jungle Ultra, you've done some jungle stuff. You've been Costa Rica this year. You did the Jungle Ultra stuff in Peru and the Amazon and whatnot. I don't know the better way to ask this question other than, like, you just look for the hardest possible places to go run and be like, yeah, that's where I'm going to go run. I mean, you got the Sahara, you got the rainforest. What is it? Maybe here's a better way to ask it. Maybe what is it that draws you to these really, really difficult multi-day type of events? They sound fun to me, but they sound fun when it's like, I'm going to listen to Susie tell a story about it, as opposed to I'm going to go out there and trudge through the desert for, 7, 8, 10 hours, whatever the case might be. So why do you keep pulling yourself to these big, crazy adventures?
So I'm not sure. It's a very good question, actually. There's some, the jungle was actually, somebody just asked if I wanted to go do it. And I thought, and I read a bit about the race and I thought, you know what, that sounds like a really good challenge. It sounds like something I could do. And I went along and that was a tough one. That was very tough. The one in the Amazon, that was really, really tough. Again, I was a little bit underprepared for it. And the one in Costa Rica was just beautiful. I mean, it had the right mix, I would say. I mean, of course, a big draw are these beautiful locations, and what better way to see the world than running through it, Costa Rica, it was a bit of jungle, just enough jungle, I'd say. Nice beach running, so they're kind of that kind of sandy, hot stretches of running that I really do enjoy. It was a really good mix, and it was all coastal as well, so it was very, very beautiful. But I do, I think a bit of the draw for me is obviously just seeing new places, but just seeing how I cope in those slightly different environments. And I can, from what I've learnt so far, is that the jungle is not my friend. It's tough. It's very, very tough. It's probably the hardest terrain I've run through. The thing which I have steered a little bit clear of, just for the time being, is the cold. There are a couple of races out there which are on my peripheral vision, shall we say? And I think for those ones, I fare much better in hot climates than in the heat. Mm-hmm. So if it's hot, then I really do want to do it. If it's colder, I don't do very well. I don't do very well in England in the winter, and it's not particularly cold here. So that's something that I probably will do maybe in the future. But for me, yeah, it's the warm temperature and the beautiful scenery are a huge draw. And then, of course, just seeing, you know, how I cope in those situations.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that at the Jungle Ultra race, which I'd heard first time. I don't know if you know Nikki Love from over there and your side of the pond, but she was on the show a while back and she had done that race. And when I was looking at some of your stuff, I was like, gosh, that seems like it's the same thing. So I was looking back and of course it's the same race, the Jungle Ultra in the Amazon. But you mentioned that when you showed up there, you may not have been prepared. And I wonder from the perspective of somebody who's done these type of races before, who's done well at some of these big races before, or, you know, very challenging races, like what does the preparation even look like? Like, I don't even know how to begin to prepare for whatever it was, 230K over 6 days through the, you know, up and down and through the rainforest. Like, I can't imagine not being underprepared, no matter how well you thought you were prepared going into it.
Yeah. I think so. It was 230, I think, over 5 days.
Okay.
I think for that one, the thing to really, it's like marathon ultra training. It's a bit like marathon training, but just slower and more of it. So for me, I find that the endurance, once you've built it up, and I spent quite a long time building up, maybe 2 years building up the endurance in my legs, which is lots of day on day running on tired legs, just going out running, you know, doing like 15 miles and then 15 miles and another 50 miles, you know, 3 days in a row, just running on tired legs and then going out for maybe, you know, a 30 mile on one day and then going back up next day, doing, you know, 4 or 5 miles. Once that's built up into your legs, that kind of stays there. The thing which is very, very difficult for me, maybe it's my age, I don't know, is the speed. That disappears very, very quickly. And then the things like the strength, so the climbing and hill work. So for something like the jungle, to have an understanding of the sort of terrain and elevation which you're going to encounter in the race, and to be aware of that is a huge, huge, you know, thing you should build in to your training. So for the jungle, it was kind of pitched for me as an overall downhill race. You start off in the Andes, mm-hmm. and then you're running down towards the Amazon Basin. So overall, we start off at 22,000. Oh, no, hang on. No, sorry, that's wrong. 12,000 feet. Mm-hmm. 20,000 is ridiculous. At 12,000 feet, and you can sort of deploy a parachute at 10,000 feet and land safely on the ground. And then you run kind of down to, you know, thousands of feet down. So I thought, okay, this was mainly downhill. This is okay. There was a huge amount of uphill as well. Mm-hmm. And so when I say I was underprepared, the uphills, I mean, they were pretty extreme. And I think at one on the long day, I think we went up the equivalent of about three or four K upwards in 1.5K, something ridiculous. It was incredible. You're literally clambering up.
Yeah.
And I was doing it for like an hour and a half. And then I thought, this is ridiculous. I can't do this. Because it's like jungle. So you're slipping in the mud a lot. Mm-hmm. You're falling over and you're getting stung and bitten by everything. So in terms of I think for me, when I say I wasn't prepared, I kind of wasn't really there with my uphill training.
Mm-hmm.
But it also wasn't there mentally with how tough it was going to be. It was tougher than I expected. And I didn't quite realise how tough it was going to be. There was a documentary on that actual race on TV, and I'd watched it, and I was like, "Oh, that looks quite nice. That looks fine. That looks all right. It looks a bit tough, but it looks fun." And then I realise now, having done the race, that the reason it looked okay was because the cameramen couldn't get to the bits of the races, which were absolutely horrendous, because they would have had to trek through the jungle for five hours to get to that point. So. Yeah, it was very tough, and there was a lot of river crossings and that sort of thing. And it's crossing a river one or two times is kind of fun, but when you're crossing it maybe sort of 28 times in one day, it kind of gets a bit like, okay, all my food's getting wet now, you know, and I haven't got anything to eat for dinner because my dinner's got wet and I was quite hungry. So I think had I known how tough it was going to be, I might have been in a slightly better place. But by the time I realised, I was in the race, and I was kind of battling for. I came third overall in that race. I was battling for position, mm-hmm. and so I just had to really knuckle down. But there was some very I can vividly remember a couple of moments in that race. I just thought, this is ridiculous, you know. But then I was so deep in the jungle that I couldn't even go, do you know what? I can't carry on, because mm-hmm. there was the next time I'd see somebody from the race was at the finish line. So I just had to keep going forward.
Right. Like I said, that sounds like a lot of fun to hear you talk about it and maybe to watch the documentary of it. But I haven't gotten to the point for myself yet where that sounds like a fun thing for me to consider for actually doing it.
It was quite extreme, I would say, because it was just jungle, which is very, very tough terrain to navigate your way through. So that's why the Costa Rica one, which I did earlier on this year, it was great because there were fire roads. So that was, you know, that was okay. I mean, hilly, very hilly. And then you're down by the coast and along the beach and it's beautiful. And then you hit a bit of jungle, which is, you know, it's very, very challenging. But just when you think, do you know what? I'm done with the jungle. You pop out of the jungle and you end up on a beach and then you're running along the beach, you know. And the thing actually about the Costa Rica race, which made it very appealing to me, is they feed you in that race. You didn't have to carry all your kids.
That's nice. Yeah.
which is nice, because I struggle carrying a lot of kit, and you have to kind of make sacrifices with the weight on your back between the weight on your back and the amount of food you want to carry to kind of nourish yourself. So the Costa Rica one seemed on paper a little bit more luxurious in that way.
Gotcha. During those multi-stage races, whether it's Marathon de Sable, whether it's the jungle, whatever it is, when it's the harsh climate plus all the physicality, is it more difficult for you in your experience mentally or physically, or is it fairly even one way to the other?
I have to say the toughest the races for all the ultras, I would say, even, you know, with jungle or whatever, the toughest times for me have been when my head has found it tough. I mean, your legs get tired, but you'll be amazed at how you can keep going if your mind's positive. So that's one thing which, you know, I've really learned in all these races, that if your mind is positive and your mind is strong, then you will get to the finish no matter what. I've been in, you know, I think I saw 100 milers, and you get to the point you think, I can't, my legs aren't working properly. But if your head's in the right place, they just keep working. So the hardest thing, I think, is when your head starts to waver a bit. And I think that's why I found the Marathon de Sable this year so tough, because my head, I mean, I was literally saying, I don't know why I'm here. And that's never happened to me in a race before. I've always managed to stay on top of it. You know, this is my goal and I can get to the finish. And to have that experience where I didn't know why I was doing it made it so much tougher than any other race I've ever been in, where physically, you know, it's a big mountain ahead of me and I've got to get over it, or you know, another river to cross. You can do that if you think, right, okay, this is what's happening now, and staying positive.
Right. Are there things that you've done to build that mental strength? You know, even obviously sometimes you're human, so sometimes it wavers and sometimes it's a struggle, but it sounds like for the most part, like that's been a big asset for you in the races you've run. Is that always been the case, or where do you think that comes from?
Yeah, I think I do. Yeah, I think I've been quite lucky in that I'm quite a positive person. And I, right from from that very first race, when I remember thinking, I don't know if I can do this, and then realizing I could do it, I've kind of really, really harnessed that. And I have a sort of arsenal of positivity, which I unleash at certain points in races if I'm struggling a little bit. And, you know, I think about the finish line. I think about, you know, the things I have done, and some of those race experiences where, you know, I've kind of dipped in the middle and managed to pull myself back out of it. They're all positives, and all of them, even, you know, the races which have been a bit rough, they all go in that mental arsenal, because I finished them all and I did it and I made it, and that all helps me get a little bit stronger. And I never ever stand at the start line of a race wondering if I'm going to do it. I tell myself, this, you know, I'm doing this. This is going to happen. And that, just having that there in your head, knowing that you're going to finish it, for me really, really helps. And I think it helps that I pick races that I want to do. So talking about those races in the cold climates, those ice races, I don't want to do those yet. I think there will come a time where I would have kind of done all the other things. I'm ready now. And And when you, you know, you've got to want to do it. There's a lot of, I mean, ultra running's now huge in this country, and there's lots of people, you know, starting and embarking on ultra running. And, you know, I see people, you know, on social media saying, you should do an ultra marathon, to other people who've just done a marathon. And, you know, that person themselves has to decide whether they're ready, if they want to make that step up, because you can't do it because people are telling you to. You've got to want to. And every race I do, I stand there and I go, yeah, this is what I'm doing today. I want to be here. And that really, that really helps. You know, that really helps me get to the finish line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that wanting piece is certainly huge. And I've had people ask before, how do I know when I'm ready to run a marathon? And it's like, man, you'll know.
You want to, yeah. You'll wake up one day and go, yeah.
When you're ready for it, you'll know. But don't let somebody try to talk you into it before you're ready.
Yeah, exactly. And I do get a little bit, and see people going, oh, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. You know, I think, well, let them come to their own conclusions. And and more often than not, you know, they will do. And I have friends who, you know, I have a lot of friends who run lots of different distances. You know, people that kind of, they really want to stick to their 10Ks and their half marathons. And there's people that, you know, they point blank refuse to run anything more than a marathon because they can't see how you can. And I know that they can, because it's a very different kind of, you know, race. It's a very different sort of, you know, focus in your race. But I'm not going to, I'll let them come to their own conclusions. And slowly but surely, all the people around me are that, well, maybe I could do it, you know. And and then half of those, the thing with ultramarathons and those long distances is the fear, I would say, and sort of, you know, the what and the unknown. And it is very different from running a marathon, very, very different from running a marathon. You know, marathons, you're kind of trying to get to a pace in a certain time. And ultramarathons, I just tell myself, for many of them, this is a big trick I have, is, no, it's just a day out running. The thing I love doing, I'm just out, I'm just running, I'm eating a bit of food as I go, I'm with friends, you know, there's lots of camaraderie out in the course, and you see people. And, you know, it's just however many hours doing what I love doing. And it's okay if there's a steep hill, I'm going to walk it. I'm going to walk up the hill and eat some food whilst I'm walking. And, you know, that for me is a real draw about the sport.
Yeah, certainly, certainly. And I want to shift gears just a bit here, Susie. But before we do that, do want to remind everybody that today's episode of the show is brought to you by Audible. If you want to get a free audiobook and get 30 months free to try out kind of audible.com, and like I said, get that free book that you get to keep no matter what, whether you cancel it or not, head over to dizruns.com/audible. And that'll get you right to the page. You sign up and you're good to go. And kind of speaking of what we've just been talking about, kind of the mental side of things, one of the next books that's on my list that I'll be getting from Audible one of these, you know, next few weeks is How Bad Do You Want It by Matt Fitzgerald, which is all about the mental side. And you guys that have been listening to the show for a while know that the mental side is where I struggle the most, I think, or certainly one of the areas where I have the most room for improvement. So if you're looking for ways to improve the mental side of your running, Audible, or just anything, you want to, you know, be entertained, just have a book to learn something, whatever, check it out on Audible and get it for free. Again, dizruns.com/audible. So Susie, like I said, shifting gears a little bit from some of the desert things, some of the jungle things, some of the multi-day races that you've done. I saw a post on your blog from maybe, I can't remember if it was maybe a year ago, something like that, but a little bit of a world record on the treadmill that you did.
Ah!
So, you know, quite the different feel from jungles, deserts, roads, trails, whatever, to going inside, getting on the treadmill and giving it a go for many, many hours. Where did that idea come about? And maybe we can touch on that for a minute.
Yeah, sure. So that was born out of a working relationship I had with the university here in the UK, Kingston University. So they have a heat chamber where I do a lot of training for these hot races. You go in and you run on the treadmill. They acclimatise you to the races to prepare you. And I became friends with the guys that run the sports science lab there. And one of them's doing some research into ultra runners. And part of his research was it's very hard to have sort of base levels of, you know, of research into ultra runners, because races are all very different and climates, and that can all affect how, you know, how people are running. So he set up an experiment where he got lots of ultra runners onto a treadmill to run 50 miles. And he recorded everything they ate, everything they drank, they took their, you know, their bloods and things, and just, you know, so he was taking a sort of scientific measure of what happens to people when they run, a variety of different people when they run 50 miles, but he lacked women to do that. So I was, oh yeah, sure, I'll run 50 miles on a treadmill, no problem. And so I turned up and ran 50 miles on a treadmill. It was quite a nice day. I had no problems. I was running, you know, running with him and chatting, and it was all fine. I was pretty fit, actually. When I went and did that, it was about a week after I did an Ironman, so I was kind of super fit, and I ran it, and I can't remember, I did it in like 7 hours, 50 minutes, like something, you know, okay. And then hopped off the treadmill, and I just did a post about it on social media saying I just did 50 miles on the treadmill, da da da. And somebody,
no big deal, just 50 miles on the treadmill.
Yeah. Just helping my mate do some. And then my friend wrote to me and said, you do realize if you kept going, you'd have broken the world record. And I was like, that's, you know, that can't be true, because I'm not the fastest girl. I mean, you know, I kind of finish, you know, where I finish in ultra marathons is, depending on the race, I kind of like, you know, I might finish just outside the top three, bottom end of the top 10, you know, I'm not the fastest. There's plenty of girls out there faster than me. So I couldn't believe that I would have been that close. Did a bit of research and, turned out to be true. So I got back in touch with Kingston University, and they were like, well, let's do it. Let's try and break a world record. And in order to satisfy Guinness, who adjudicate the world records, we had to go through a lot of hoops. They sent me a big document, 26 pages of things I could and, you know, I could and couldn't do. And we had to like film the whole thing. It had to be live streamed. It had to be open to the public. I wasn't allowed. This is the one which freaked me out the most. I wasn't allowed to touch the treadmill with anything other than my feet. Mm. So I didn't lean on it, you know. And we just set a date and decided to do it. And they wanted a little bit of publicity out of it. So I just told people, I think 48 hours before, that I was going to do it. And it just kind of went mad. Everybody latched onto it. And on the day, we were live streaming and thousands of people were watching. And I got very, very stressed. It was suddenly very stressful. And it, you know, and I, you know, some days when you have a good day running and you feel great and you're running and it's all great. Mm-hmm. And then some days you go out and you're running and actually you don't feel so hot. It's like, oh, this isn't working for me today. I was having one of those days. Oh. And so it wasn't brilliant. And I got on the treadmill and it is very black and white. You know, I wasn't like a race where I was going to actually not do very well and just have a, you know, a lower finish, you know, worse than I was anticipating, or have a worse time. I was either going to break a world record or I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And I was running along, and I was kind of doing this fake smile and happiness and waves. I was getting loads of messages in. It was a great, you know, the amount of support was amazing, but I really struggled actually from about 9 hours in, and I started to get something, motion sickness, which I hadn't had before.
Is it just, so just from looking at a wall the entire time? Was that kind of where it came from?
So just looking, so my depth of field, my depth of vision, whilst I was running up and down for 12 hours, you know, for that long, my depth field was just stayed the same. So I was looking at a wall and I started to feel very, very nauseous. And, you know, it was a bit of a tough battle. And I was kind of like, I wanted to give myself a big buffer to break the world record on. And it was just, I was just getting slower and slower and slower. And actually, it got quite critical in the last hour or so whether I was going to do it or not. And I did, you know, and it was fantastic. I was very sick and I did it. It was brilliant. And a huge, huge, huge support from everybody around me. And I had loads of volunteers came and helped. And it was a really great day. And, you know, it got quite a splash, actually. Mm-hmm. And as soon as it was like picked up by Runners World America, and I just thought, that's not going to last long. and it didn't.
Right,
but
right.
I think I had it for maybe about seven, eight months, something like that. And then somebody took it, which, and rightly so. I mean, I didn't have a great day, but I've got the certificate, you know, Guinness award you a certificate to say you've broken a world record. And I can definitely say I know what it feels like to break a world record.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's something that no matter what, you, whether it was one day, 1 month, 1 year, or, you know, 8 months, like you said, you were a world record. Yeah. That's something that very few people can lay a claim to.
Yeah. So that was actually mentally quite tough, I think, because I felt quite vulnerable, because so many people were looking at me, and and if I fell over, for example, it would have been over, you know. What a way to end falling over like 11 hours into something. But it was great. And I really, really great experience, really, really great experience. And things like that really show me how much the running community are so supportive. I had so many wonderful messages from people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you got one from, if I remember right from the blog post, you got one from Paula Radcliffe too. That's not a bad day.
Yeah, Paula Radcliffe. And then she recognized me. So I saw her about a month or so later, and she was like, oh, it's you from the treadmill. And that's, you know, that's pretty exciting. That was pretty exciting.
Yeah, from one world record holder to another, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, she's like the goddess of running over here.
Oh, but this is great. Congratulations. Even though, like you said, it wasn't long lasting, but it doesn't matter. It's in the books.
Yeah.
It counts, whether it's, like I said, one day or whatever. So good job there.
Thank you.
As we're getting kind of close to wrapping up today, Susie, one other thing that I do want to touch on at least quickly. And you know, if we spend a few extra minutes on it, that's fine. But, you know, we've talked so much about all the ultra stuff and the places you've run, the deserts, the jungles. I mean, everybody's knows all those things by now since we've talked about it so often. But I don't want to gloss over the fact that you still run road marathons, big city stuff. I mean, this year you've done, if memory serves, you've done London already, you've done Tokyo already, and you're gearing up for Chicago later this year. It seems like in my times talking to runners that, you know, it's not that people are exclusive, but it tends to be if you're going to be an ultra marathoner, typically that's what you tend to do. If you're going to be a road marathoner, typically that's what you tend to do. But it seems like you kind of straddle the fence both on both sides of it. Is it just that you just enjoy both types of both disciplines of the sport, or why not pick one or the other?
Yeah, so I know because it's a lot of ultra runners, they love the trails and they're like trail mm-hmm. running, you know, that's their thing. I love running on the trails, but I like road running as well. You know, I really do. And the reason that the road marathon, I do enjoy a road marathon. Mm-hmm. I enjoy a good road marathon. It kind of keeps me in check. I kind of, oh, this is where I am. You know, it's a good marker, good sort of line in the sand to start off the year with. But the reason I did Tokyo and London, I'm on schedule to finish the six world marathon majors this year in Chicago. Nice. So that kind of accidentally happened. I was three in, and then I realized I've only got three more to go. You know, might as well carry on, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I'll end it with Chicago this year, and I'd quite like to end. I don't know, this might be wildly ambitious, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'd quite like to end on a PB, which means this summer, you know, I'm going to be hitting the track. I'm right. going to be pounding the pavements, running again. I just enjoy both. I mean, I don't set the world alight when I'm in road running at mm-hmm. all. You know, there's so many wonderful runners out there. You know, for me, it's something which I like to do. It keeps me in check. I enjoy those big city marathons. I enjoy, you know, half marathons. And, you know, a lot of my friends, you know, they're runners and, you know, they like running road marathons, and that's a thing they do. So we go out on our little sort of trips together at the weekend. We go and do a marathon or a half marathon. And it's sort of part of my extended social life, shall we say.
This may be an impossible question, but I'll ask it anyway. If you could only do one or the other, roads, whether it's marathons, half marathons, whatever, if you could only do roads, or if you could only do the trail stuff, whether it's, again, whether it's just an individual one-day ultra or the multi-day stuff, which way would you lean, do you think?
Oh, that's so tough because I genuinely do enjoy both. Mm-hmm. I think you know, because I think I'd go for the trails and the ultras, and that's purely just based on performance, really. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I'll try and get a PB on the marathon this year, but it's so much hard work to try and maintain that level. So I'm only ever going to get worse, I think, keeping mm-hmm. on the road running. And, you know, you see some really beautiful places out on those trails. So I think I probably would go ultra over the marathon, but it's tough. You know, it's a tough decision.
I guess I'm still probably more of a road runner than a trail runner, because like I said, I've only done the one ultra, and that was the only trail race I've done. So but I am definitely going to be, I think, probably in the coming years much more like you, where it's like, yeah, I've got a handful of trail races, maybe an ultra or two, and then some shorter trail stuff, and still a handful of road races as well, because they're different, but they're fun both ways, you know.
Exactly. And people told me that I couldn't do both, or, you know, I couldn't be fast and I couldn't run ultra marathons. And actually, I think if you train smart and you balance your training plans well, then you can actually do both. You know, it depends what level you are. I mean, I bet you're probably a super fast runner. So you probably hit some really fast times. But me, I'm never going to set the world alight on the marathons. And, you know, I know I am, and I'm at peace with it. So mm-hmm. I'm happy to run those and enjoy those, and then go out on the ultras and try and sort of, you know, cherry pick the ones I really want to go for.
Gotcha. Well, I'm certainly not anybody's, I'm not most people's definition of fast, but I subscribe to the feeling that fast is relative. So to some people, you know, my best day is their worst day, and vice versa. To some people,
exactly.
my worst day is their best day. So we all are out there doing our thing and enjoying it as we go.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I'm with that too. Exactly.
So as we're wrapping up today, Susie, I really enjoy ending these with kind of a very open-ended, I call it kind of a philosophical type of question. So, you know, again, there's certainly no right answer, no wrong answer, no desired length of answer. We've had a couple of words, we've had a couple minutes, we've had 10 or 15 minutes on some answers. So all are okay. So you can just kind of take this and go with it, whichever way whichever way feels right to you. But I just would be curious that, you know, I'd be curious to know, why do you run? I mean, we talked about kind of why you got into it, but why at this point? And I kind of think maybe we touched on it a little bit, but I'm just gonna ask that and get out of the way. So why at this point in your life do you still enjoy running?
I get asked this question a lot, and do you know what? I've been asked when I started running, and you know, all the way up to now, and 7 years I've been running, and the answer changes. It changes with where I'm at with the running and the sort of, you know, what my goals are, and you know, it's like asking what your favorite film is. It can change. And for me, the thing which I try and reflect on, why is it I run and what is it I really enjoy? And for me, the number one thing that comes out in all of that is the amount of people I've met. It's just the people. I've met some wonderful friends. I've made some lifelong friends. I met my husband running. I've been to some amazing places and shared some really great experiences. And the best moments, I think, when I think back about the races, you know, and the experiences I've had when running, they're the ones which really stand out and really stick in my mind are the ones which I've shared with my friends or shared with people, you know, in races. Mm-hmm. They're not the ones where I've just been really, really trying really hard to get, you know, a PB in a 10K. The ones I really remember are those experiences. And so for me to continue having that in my life is why I run.
I think you'd find a lot of people that would agree with that answer. So we'll leave well enough alone, because I can agree, and I don't want to muddy the water at all. So again, guys, if you want to find out more about what Susie's doing and what she's up to and how things are going with her, Susie-Chan.com is the website. On Instagram at Susie_Chan_ on the Twitter at Susie_Chan, that's _Chan. And again, Facebook page, just search for Susie Chan and you can like the page, and there's always updates and things going on there as well. And again, disruns.com/423 is the show notes for this episode. We'll have all those links and links back to some of those posts. And if you want to read the nitty gritty on some of those races and the experiences and the things that she's done that we talked about today, you can check them out there. So Susie, thank you so much for taking the time today. Sharing some stories and obviously wishing you nothing but the best going forward. Have a great training cycle leading up to Chicago, and then whatever. I know you got some big things in store after that as well. So continued good health and good fortune, and looking forward to staying in touch and seeing how the future goes for you.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation between Susie and myself. And as always, I would love to know what stood out to you from this particular episode of the show. What was your big takeaway from my chat with Susie Chan today? For me, I think it really kind of came down to the end of our conversation there. When we were talking and when Susie was talking about how, you know, she still really enjoys running trails and crazy locations and epically difficult events, as well as she still enjoys, you know, kind of going fast and hitting the roads once in a while and you know, running a road race just as much as she enjoys the trails or the ultras or, you know, the exotic locations. And, I think that just kind of stood out to me because, you know, just like we talked about, I think a lot of times we feel like we need to kind of pigeonhole ourselves a little bit. You know, I'm a marathon runner, I'm an ultra distance runner, I'm a trail runner, I'm a road runner, whatever it might be. And, it's kind of refreshing to hear somebody who's really, really talented, really, really good, works really, really hard at what she does. And she's just a runner. You know, she doesn't care whether it's a long race, whether it's a short race, whether it's a multi-day race, whether it's in the jungles, whether it's in the desert, whether it's on the roads, whether it's wherever it might be. I guess she doesn't really want to race in the glacier just yet, but eventually that might be the case too, you know? And it just stood out to me because, you know, it's okay to not be a quote unquote specialist. It's okay to just enjoy running, and whatever challenges in front of you, whatever that next race is, you train for it, you prepare for it, you have fun with it, and then you go on to the next thing. And, you know, I just think that's a refreshing take from somebody who's at the top of their game to know that, you know, it's okay. Just make it fun. And as long as you're having fun, that's all that matters. You don't have to specialize. You don't have to be one or the other. You don't have to compartmentalize yourself. Just be a runner and enjoy that. And that's more than enough. And so that was my takeaway for this episode. I'd love to know what it was for you. Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. Or better yet, head over to the show notes for this episode, which you can find at DizRuns.com/423. And leave a comment there. And that way others can see what you had to say and can add to it and expound on it. And we can get a little dialogue going as well. So that is just about it for today. Don't forget DizRuns.com/audible if you want to get a free trial and a free audio book and check it out. And be careful. You might just find yourself really enjoying it, because I know I have. And I definitely look forward to each and every month getting that new book, getting that credit, and going book shopping, and checking out what's going to be the next book this month. And if you do it, if you use the code and you sign up, let me know what book you're reading or listening to, I guess, as the case may be. Always would be curious to find out what books you're reading and how you're liking them, how you're enjoying them. So dizruns.com/audible, great way to support the show and get yourself a little something that you're going to enjoy as well. So with that, we'll go ahead and put a bow on this thing at this point. Call it a day. Thanks for listening to this episode, guys. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. This one was a lot of fun, and I hope you enjoyed that. So until next time, thank you again for listening. Take care of yourselves, and we'll talk soon. Take care, guys.